Thank you, Krishna, and thank you all of you for being here at the very end of the conference. I know our brains are full right now with information. Today I'm going to talk about the effect of phosphor-converted LEDs and direct emission LEDs on lettuce growth. So what do I mean by that? Well, direct emission LEDs are, number one, they're not phosphor-coated, and number two, the color or the wavelength the photons emitted is dependent on the semiconductor material within the LED. For instance, a green LED has gallium indium phosphide, but due to the difference in crystal size, this creates what we call the green gap, and that leads to the very low efficacy that we see in green LEDs. But we've got a choice. We want to put green in our spectrum. We've all seen that that's beneficial for most crops, so we can use a phosphor-converted LED to do this. So Nick Clace this morning gave a really good introduction to my talk. So here on the left, we have a phosphor-converted LED. Now, putting that phosphor on is going to reduce your output by about 20%. But due to the green gap, this is still a saving in energy. So what the phosphor does is it takes that blue or UV high-energy LED and it down-converts the wavelengths to lower energy. So you get a green, yellow, red, and far red. So experiments in our lab over the years have shown that growth under what I call here PC, which is a commercially available phosphor-converted LED fixture, Veloia in this case, resulted in really low anthocyanin concentrations when we compared it to red lettuce grown under cool white fluorescence. So we compared with other LED fixtures. So here I've got the same red lettuce, which is a cultivar Rooksai, and I've grown it under what I call RBW, red, blue, white. This is an Illumitex fixture. We have it under RPC, Veloia, cool white fluorescent, and then the Philips red and blue. Quite often when I present, primarily at engineering conferences, I don't like to name names, because it can be quite competitive. But again, we see that under the phosphor-converted Veloia fixture, we have lower levels of anthocyanin concentration. We have the highest under cool white fluorescence with intermediate concentrations under the Illumitex and the Philips. So we decided let's grow more cultivars and see if this holds true for others. And we see that for Rooksai, red butter, and a different red oak leaf lettuce, we have the same effect. We see low pigmentation in the cultivars grown under the PC Veloia fixture. However, look at the size and the form of the plants. Very nice looking compared to plants grown under the cool white fluorescent or the red and blue. So looking at this in a little more detail, I've got anthocyanin concentration on the y-axis. We have four different lettuce, red lettuce cultivars, and we can see again the plants grown under the phosphor-converted Veloia in three out of the four cases have lower anthocyanin concentrations. Second lowest was plants grown under the Philips red and blue. So this led to phosphor studies. I was invited to give a talk at the Global Phosphor Summit last year, where I got to learn a lot about phosphor chemistry. And here's a photo of different phosphors that are being used. You never see one phosphor. It's a combination of between three and five phosphors. And this really changes the spectral output of fixtures. And I got to meet Wouter Sauer there, who is a senior engineer with LumiLED, and we talked about this problem, and it led to the question, is this a general phosphor phenomenon? So together we designed three different fixtures that had different phosphors in it, and under the Greenhouse Lighting and Systems Engineering Initiative, we conducted research to find the most energy-efficient way to add green to our spectrum in CEA. So we have a lime phosphor fixture. These are my growth cabinets where I conduct all of our research. We have a green LumiLED phosphor. I'll go into those in a minute. We have purple. We have our PC Veloia, and we have a direct emission RGB fixture as well. We conduct all of our experiments at between 220 and 250 micromoles. We have a 16-hour photo period, temperature 23 degrees Celsius day, 18 at night, relative humidity 60 to 70%, and CO2 concentrations of about, on average, 450 ppm. And we use a 50% Hoagland solution for our nutrients. So here's the spectral distribution. I've got PFD on the y-axis and wavelength on the x. We see the RGB here quite clearly. We have our phosphor-converted Veloia in the light green. We've got our green treatment here, which is actually two different phosphors and a direct emission green. We have our purple, which has no green. Oops. And that's two different phosphors again. And we have our lime, which is kind of an intermediate here, and that is three different phosphors combined together. You've got the spectral analysis down there on the right-hand side, and you can see that the difference between our PC Veloia fixtures, that it's got lower blue and lower far red. But I want to point out another region of the spectrum that we never specify in our spectral analyses, and that is this yellow amber region between 570 and 640 nanometers. So let's look at some results. So we look at yield. We perform our experiments on 16-day-old lettuce seedlings. In this case, again, it's our in-house model, which is Rooksai. We have the yields, so that's fresh weight on the y-axis, and you can see that the highest yields are in the lime, green, and phosphor-converted Veloia fixture. Anthocyanin concentration, again, we see the lowest under the phosphor-converted Veloia with good amounts under the lime green and the direct emission RBG fixtures. So why is this? This is just a huge mystery. Is it the low blue? No, I don't think so, because in the Illumitex, the RBW fixture, there's only 12% blue, and in the PC Veloia, there's 13%. So I don't think it's that. Is it the low far red? Probably yes. We're adding far red now. We've just finished our second replicate, adding far red to our RBG spectrum, and we're seeing increased levels of anthocyanin. Is it this yellow amber region? I think it could be. And I've noticed this before when we've grown under sort of broad spectrum LEDs. When you replace the 660 nanometer with the 630 nanometers, you see decreased crop quality for leafy greens. So maybe it is this region. The PC Veloia, the biggest difference is that it's got 45% PAR in this region. So another question, why is this? This experiment by Takahashi et al. Was really interesting. They used a prism to break up sunlight and then filtered it to get narrow bands of the spectrum. And they looked at they deduced the action spectrum of PS2 photo damage doing this by measuring maximum PS2 photochemical efficiency, or FEFM, through chlorophyll fluorescence. And so here we have on the left axis, the left y-axis, we have PFD. On the y, we have the calculated PS2 photo damage. And you can clearly see that we've got two areas of the spectrum that are damaged One is in the UV, which is not surprising. The other is in this yellow amber region. Now, we know that anthocyanin biosynthesis is under blue light control through cryptochrome, but it's also under photosynthetic control, where it is regulated by the redox state of the plastoquinone pool. And so if you have PS2 photo damage occurring in your plants, perhaps this is inhibiting the anthocyanin biosynthesis. So let's see if we can switch this about. So we do a lot of neat shift experiments in the lab. And here we took a plant that was grown under the PC Valoya spectrum and shifted it to one of our direct emission spectra. And we see increases in chlorophyll, anthocyanin concentration within 48 hours. So looking at this a little more, this is a little more visual representation. This is taking a Rüksei red lettuce plant that was grown under a Valoya spectrum and shifted it to a cool white fluorescent spectrum where we attain the highest anthocyanin concentrations. This is 48 hours. Let's look at it again. I just love plants. So in conclusion, I can say that not all phosphors are created equal, and that you can achieve good quality crops, and I'm defining quality here as yield as well as pigment concentration in the plant. Questions, though. Should we omit or reduce the amount of light emitted by phosphor-converted LEDs? Should we omit that 570 to 640 nanometer region? Also, the future, I think, is going to be dynamic lighting. Let's grow under a spectrum where you get good yield, and then pre-harvest, expose it to a spectrum where you can achieve your biochemical characteristics of interest. So I'd like to thank you for your attention. I'd like to thank my undergraduate students. I'm in the heart of an engineering school, and so my students come in when they can between classes. Jack Wellhofer, Jengxin Deng, and Aaron Lazar, they help me when they can, and also the funding agencies that support this work. Thank you. Everybody wants to get to the pool. Yes. Yeah, it doesn't really shift more towards the blue. It shifts, it down converts, so it will actually shift further away from the blue. So really you see the differences more in the far red, but I'm also noticing this difference in this yellow region. Yeah. At this Phosphor Global Summit, I saw this one LED that was put out by Nichia, and they used UV and blue LEDs as their base. And the spectrum, what they call the cyan gap, which is between the blue and the green, there's this gap. They've completely filled that gap now, so we could really get a flat spectrum to grow under, which would be really interesting. It's not in commercial fixtures yet. Bit expensive, I imagine. Oh, William, yes. Yeah, that's what we're seeing in the lab. Oh, the question was, does adding far red to the spectrum increase anthocyanin concentration? And what we're seeing, it doesn't increase it as much as what we see under cool white fluorescence, but it does increase it beyond what we see in the RGB alone. And I'm not sure why. We still have one more replicate to do, so, yeah. Yes. Beg your pardon? Oh, yes, we measure from 350 up to 900 nanometers in our spectroradiometer. Yeah. Great, thank you.